This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started yesterday's program, Tobes, with a little Road Dog Jesse James. Keeping the wrestling theme going. I just am channeling a little Stone Cold Steve Austin. When I say to you,
can I get a hell yeah?
This is it, dude. I love it. Welcome. Grant Nanny here on the Fan. Toby in for GP. Bringing the fan back from Florida, so I got Tobes hanging out with me. We were at Tap Sports Bar. Yesterday, it was packed getting in here. Today, I had to drive around for a little bit to find myself a parking spot.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't park in one of those ideal spots. Usually, you roll right in, get something close to the elevators, because there's plenty of parking here at MGM National Harbor. I had to circle around a little bit to find myself something desirable. The place is going to be hopping. Tap Sports Bar is already buzzing. Maryland plays this afternoon. We'll get to that in a second. But this is the best. This is it. We are hanging out with you guys until 6:30. Me and Mitch and Finley have done their shift, and we are here now sitting where they sat. I got a lot of hoops right in my eyeballs. I'm watching Baylor up by 8. Vijay Edgecombe, who might be a wizard.
Stud.
He's in that game. I like his game an awful lot. Maybe a name that folks need to know. If they don't win the lottery, which is a bad system, that should be changed immediately.
Yeah, but I think, you know, they can watch their future wizard, Cooper Flagg, later today.
I hope
that's
man,
what
I
we're
hope
all
so.
Hoping, right?
It feels like the fifth pick, though. And everybody that's familiar with Washington knows that sometimes the envelopes are cold, sometimes they're hot, sometimes the ping pong balls don't bounce your way. Whatever the worst case is, that's what's happening. If you know, you know, as the young people say. Plenty to do on the radio program today. Got a couple, I don't want to call them off-the-wall topics, but a couple things I couldn't believe and can't not talk about, if that makes any sense to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk some tournament stuff, obviously, go through some nostalgia. Favorite tournament upset of all time, we'll do that in the 3 o'clock hour. I got a rule by a Major League Baseball team. They've been in the news, you know, of late. The Yankees with their facial hair policy got a little bit of run on the program. We got a new rule from Ron Washington that I actually think is outstanding, but I know a lot of young people might get pissed off about it. We'll talk about that. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgersing. He's in the process of Rodgersing. I would say he's mid-Rodgers right now, Tobes. We'll talk about that 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, get your tourney updates throughout the day. But we got to start last night. The best. The great one. Not the great one. That's Alex Ovechkin. But the great eight here in town who's walking down Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, yeah.
What else can you say, dude?
So crazy.
You run out of words, obviously. I say this every time we talk about it, and we talk about it a lot because he's so awesome. He's so prodigious. But it would be one thing if this was kind of like it's been the last couple of years for a team that's, like, kind of a playoff team, maybe not. You know, if they were, like, the way the Islanders are this year or Montreal or one of these teams that are fighting for a playoff spot, old, beat-up veterans, you know, Oshie trying to go through 77 hours of therapy just so we can, you know, skate a few shifts, and Backstrom not being himself, you know, putting in the effort, mailing it in. Not saying this because they're mailing it in, but you know what I mean? Just doing whatever you can just to play, knowing you're not the same player you were before. And it was just a gimmick, right? They were just passing to Ovechkin every time down. He wasn't playing defense. And, you know, they were just sort of going through the motions to get the guy the record. That's honestly how it looked like it was going. And you understand that because it's such an incredible record that was thought to be unbreakable. And you'd be forgiven for sort of putting off a rebuild or putting off a team development thing just to make sure that he gets it, right, with a few more veterans. So it'd be one thing if that's what was happening. Nothing but empty net goals and, you know, cheap things on a power play for a team that's a second division club. They're in the postseason already. First team to clinch that. 100-point team. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. Chance at the President's Trophy. And here he is scoring, not in some blowout 5-1 loss, but the first goal of the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a lot of what happened last year where I was like, ooh, can they backdoor their way into the postseason? Can we get some meaningful hockey that really isn't that meaningful because they're not really a cup contender, but they're kind of just there? Can you at least make it so that it's going to be fun down the stretch where it's not just, like you said, kind of feeding Ovi on a terrible hockey team and it kind of diminishes? It's not going to diminish the record. Like, let's be
real. Yeah, the record's the record, right?
But it's like, it's not as fun, right? The fact that he's scoring goals, last night it's a 3-2 game. They needed his goal.
Yep.
It's not like they're winning 6-1 in random games. No, they are even losing games. And he's just scoring goals that are meaningless in the third period. He's scoring meaningful goals for the best team in hockey. It's insane. And he's going to break the record, hopefully this season. It looks like it's still on pace to do so. He's going to break the record on, if not the best team in the hockey, the second best team in hockey, just continuing to roll throughout his career. He's such a big part of it. This team is so much fun to watch. You've got guys up and down the roster that are playing above what you would have expected. Alexi Protas having a great year. Tom Wilson, first time getting to 30 goals. It's so fun to watch, and it just adds into how cool this record's going to be when it's broken. But even just having a season like this is so special, even if we didn't have the Ovi story. This is a team in itself that is so fun to watch and a team that is worth telling the story of. So when you combine the two, it's why we talk about it seemingly every single day. Maybe we don't spend enough time on it, honestly, with how good this team is and how good Ovi is. It's so much fun to watch this team.
So I remember talking to my dad years ago, and I've spoken to him since, just for the record. We've talked. But when I was in high school, and I grew up with Cal Ripken Jr., my favorite athlete of all time, right? My favorite then Washington Redskin was Art Monk. My favorite athlete ever was Cal Ripken Jr. And you could see a common theme there between those two guys.
Sure.
Now, obviously, this is pre-U-Tobes, but the whole point of them was dependable every day. They show up and play every day. The consistency is what mattered. Art Monk retired as the guy that caught the most number of passes, had the most consecutive games with a catch. It didn't matter. Feeling good, bad, and different. You got a cold. You got a sinus infection. You got a nagging quad. You twisted this. You show up and you do everything you can do that day. And if the manager, if the boss says, we're better off without you, say, okay. But you show up and do your damn job. And that's the thing that I value most in sports. That's why whenever we have that annual discussion about guys that skip OTAs or skip this voluntary thing and everyone yells at me, it's voluntary. I understand that. Do everything you can do. Show up and do your best. That's the job.
At your job, skip every voluntary function, by the way.
Right.
Skip every single one and see what happens.
Yeah, Godspeed. But I'm telling you, I talk about this with my wife. There's some days we don't have, like right now, everything sucks for us. Just pull back the curtain a little bit. My oldest had flu B. I don't know if it's different between A or C. I don't know. We had flu B. It was awful. I had to take my youngest, my 7-year-old, his birthday week, he had dental work done on Tuesday, birthday on Wednesday. His birthday party this weekend is canceled because he's got flu B also. We're going through it, man. We got a newborn at home. Like, everything sucks right now, right? We don't have our A game. We don't have our fastball. Bullpen phone rang. We got to do the job. You do your best. You bring what you have that day to the yard. And sometimes we overlook it. And the conversation, going back to this, that I had with my dad years ago, watching Ripken kind of get going and get closer and closer, edging this record, and the countdown was on. You could do the math. With Ovechkin, you don't know, right? But you could do the math that it was going to be that Angels series where it was going to happen. And he said something that I thought was very profound to me at that point. And he said, you should never take greatness for granted. There's a night where, because this is pre-Masson, it was hard to watch games on television before, when cable was still novel and wasn't ubiquitous. You had home team sports or whatever you could find to be able to watch the game. And I remember once going like, I don't really feel like watching a night when he was at like, 2033 or something like that. The Mariners were in town or whatever the hell. And I remember that convo. And I remember that, what I thought, again, was a very profound statement. And I thought of that when Ovechkin scored last night. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head. I'm asking you, as fans, Caps fans get it, they know. If you're not necessarily a Caps fan, if it's not your priority, I understand that. The numbers say that those some of you listening to me right now are not primary Caps fans or even secondary Capitals fans. I get that. Hockey's hockey. It maybe has the place at the table for you, or it doesn't. I'm telling you, do not take greatness for granted. I'm telling you that because you're not going to see this. This shouldn't be happening. In fact, there's no rational explanation for a 39-year-old to be on 50-goal pace.
Right.
That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen for 26-year-olds in their prime. And here it is happening for the greatest goal scorer ever to walk on this planet.
I mean, it's pretty cool when you're living through a time that you know for years and years and years, for the entirety of the history of hockey, this is going to be something that's talked about. This stretch right here of hockey, this specific season, assuming he breaks it this year, is going to be talked about for years, about how special it was, how this Capitals team kind of pulled themselves up off the mat after, you know, they were able to go on a magical run last year just to get into the postseason, and then this year turn into the best team in hockey. And talking about how Alex Ovechkin had seemed like, okay, maybe it was kind of taking a downward turn to all of a sudden, holy smokes, this dude is still one of the best goal scorers in the entire league. And living through that is just so cool. You don't want to miss a moment. This team is so much fun. And like that, like we talked about before, it's one of those things where it'd be one thing if this team was not fun to watch, this team was kind of boring. This team is one of the most fun teams in hockey because they can beat you any number of ways any given night. You want to score 7 goals, they can match you. You want to make it a rock fight and you got to win 3-2 like last night, they can do it. They're so impressive to watch. And just add on the fact that Ovi's going to break that record. You're right. Don't take the greatness that you're watching from this team and specifically from Alex Ovechkin for granted.
We got some cool stuff that we can do with the power of radio. This is how it sounded last night on the radio when Ovi scored 888. Say that again. He scored 888 goals in the NHL.
And across to Dan Riemsdyk. Chipped by Ovechkin. Low here to Dubois. And Dan Riemsdyk gets the shot through. Rebound. He scores! Alex Ovechkin on the rebound! Airshin went down! It's 888 for the Great 8 with 5:35 to go in the first. It's 1-0 Washington.
Goosebumps, man. Goosebumps. You can hear it. A goal against the Flyers is good, right? Anybody scores that goal, Dylan Strome lights the lamp, or Protas gets number 30, people will be excited. The buzz in that place, because you're watching the single digit. It's going to be a handful. It's a Baker's half dozen all of a sudden to tie the damn thing, and you're going to get those kind of reactions more and more and more as time goes. It's just so special.
And I thought it was cool today. Tarik El-Bashir had tweeted out that Nicklas Backstrom said that as he gets closer and closer,
yes,
he's going to travel with the team so that he can be there when he breaks it. It's just so cool. You know, this is a moment that everyone's going to remember, but I'm so happy, you know, for guys like Backstrom being around. I'm happy for guys like John Walton being able to call it. Joe B, you know, I know it might not be on a monumental broadcast, but we learned a couple weeks ago that they're going to find a way to make sure that Joe B's on the call. I'm excited for all those guys. It's obviously great for Ovi, but so many people, it's going to be really cool too.
So that is on the good side. This is on the, oh my God, what is happening side. It's no good way to transition, so here I go. I'll just do my best. Maryland plays this afternoon, and that's good, right? This is the best basketball team Maryland has had since. You can fill in the blank. You can decide if you like this better than the 2020 group or some of the other teams that were pretty frisky or talented or good, etc. Here's what I know. They got a chance to do something that used to be normal around these parts that has not been for some time. The biggest basketball game in, again, whatever number of years you want to put on it, okay? They have a huge game against Grand Canyon University, who is not a pushover. This is not Quinton and O'Brien in the second round of the tournament in the Big Lebowski. You sleep, Derek sleeps, Ryan sleeps, and Anthony Haney probably sleeps. He's back at studio as well. Everybody underestimates the Big Lebowski in your generation. Mine properly appreciates it. Anyway, the point is this, okay? The focus right now, 100%, should be on what? This basketball team, this game, this tournament. Is 100% of the focus on this game, this basketball team, this tournament? The answer is no. I'll let you guys listen to this if you haven't heard it yet. Some of you are going to kind of be like, wait, that's unusual. I'll get into how unusual it is. But, Darius, go ahead and roll this clip here. This is Kevin Willard, slightly in his defense or for context, answering a question. And I will just give you a little bit of foreshadowing. He's answering a question at a press conference 24 hours before they play this huge game that we're talking about in a way that, quite frankly, is astounding. Go ahead and roll it.
You know, I'll say this. This is Damon and I talked on Sunday night right before Selection Sunday. He gave me a term sheet right before Selection Sunday. I really wasn't focused on it. Been focused on this team and this. Damon's talked to my agent. I talked to Damon this morning at length about where we are. Obviously, it's difficult right now because I think we know his situation. He's probably going to SMU, so it's kind of tough to negotiate with somebody that's maybe not here. But I need to make fundamental changes to the program. That's what I'm focused on right now. That's why probably a deal hasn't got done, because I want to see I need to see fundamental changes done. I want this program to be great. I want it to be the best in the country. I want to win a national championship, but there's things that need to change. When you're at a place for 3 years and you put your heart and soul into it, you kind of sit there and say, okay, wait a second, for us to be really successful, X, Y, and Z needs to change. And first and foremost, I need to make sure that we are where we are with NIL and rev share is not where we've been with NIL in the past 2 years. We've been one of the worst, if not lowest, in the NIL in the last 2 years. So that's first and foremost. I also have to make a fundamental change where I can do the things that I want to do with my program. You know, I wanted to spend an extra night in New York this year to celebrate Christmas with my team, and I was told that we can't do that because it's too expensive. So I don't know how we can be a top tier program and I can't spend one extra night in New York because it's too expensive. So there's fundamental things I'm fighting for my team and my program. It's not so much about me. It seems that I want to make sure that whatever we do going forward, we're successful and we're successful at the highest rate. So I'm confident that we'll get things done. It's a little difficult right now, I'm not going to lie. I'm confident that no matter who we're negotiating with at the end of the day, this program is going to be in a great spot. And that's really my focus is this tournament, this team, and this program.
What?
Sure sounds like it, by the way. His focus is on this tournament, this team, and this game. It sure sounds like it.
Listen, the idea that he was asked a question and was just answering it, no. It's so easy. We have a huge game tomorrow. I'm focused on that.
Yes.
Next question. Well, what about this rumor? We have a huge game tomorrow. I'm focused on that. It's a great opportunity for us, the program, and the kids. You don't air the dirty laundry like that 24 hours before your team is supposed to play its biggest game in however many years. This is pathetic. This is a joke. Now, I'm not absolving the rest of the folks from Maryland. It sounds like the AD, we're not going to know all the information until more comes out, more reporting is done. I'm sure there were angst behind the scenes. I'm sure there was a conflict. That's obvious. That's inherent. I experienced that to a degree via my school. I went to George Washington University. I know the former basketball coach and the AD didn't get along, and stuff happens. That's normal. You want more. They're not willing to give you more. The budget's this, that, whatever. I'm sure there's conflicts. There's going to be conflicts everywhere. The next AD is going to have to say no on some stuff. You couldn't stay an extra night in Manhattan? Like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone?
Mm-hmm.
So you do it now? You're bitching about an extra hotel night because you wanted to do something nice for the... In what world is that an appropriate time and place to say anything of the sort? What on earth is happening? What a self-serving, pathetic display by the head coach. And again, doesn't absolve Maryland. Maryland's big picture. Tobes, I'm tagging in, but I'm going off on this. I cannot believe this is a thing. Maryland's got its own set of issues that
sure.
They want to be something that they're not, and it's not going to happen. You ain't a football school. No matter how many times you're in the Big Ten collecting those checks, you're going to get your ass kicked when Penn State comes to town and Michigan comes to town and the Ohio State University is going to beat the hell out of you whenever they feel like it. You ain't it. Good luck beating Indiana a couple times. Scrape together your revenue share for the Big Ten Network, which is on my cable package, and that's fine and dandy. I know why you did it. You chased that pie in the sky that you're going to be a football school. You're not. I get that there's frustration from the basketball team that has achieved, not lately, mind you, for so many years, and you can't get your NIL, you can't get your funding in this new reality. Fine. I understand you're upset and you're griping about it. Now back to you, Coach Willard. What a self-serving, a pathetic display to air grievances. Announce that the AD's leaving before there's any kind of official report. What are you doing and why?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible display by Willard. It's a bad look on him. Like you said, it doesn't absolve Maryland from simply, if he wants to stay another night in New York, like, let's not pretend like the University of Maryland doesn't have enough money to stick around for one more night for the basketball team to celebrate Christmas in New York. That's obviously disappointing, but to have all this happen right before the NCAA tournament, look, I'm all for this drama. Let's do it. After the season is done, Danny, after everything's done, hopefully, you know, this team wins tonight. Hopefully they win again on Sunday. Hopefully they're making another cross-country trip to go out to San Francisco next week for the Sweet 16. Hopefully all that stuff happens, but that's not even the talk right now around the Maryland basketball program, and it's disappointing. I mean, this is, like you said, a really, really good Maryland basketball team that has a chance to do something that this team hasn't done in a while. You got the Crab Five that people are talking about. T-shirts are being printed. People are excited about this basketball team. But going into a huge game against Grand Canyon today, the story isn't about beating the 13th seed Grand Canyon, whatever their mascot is. It's all about Kevin Willard essentially saying that they're AD is gone. It's crazy to me that this is the story. This is something that Kevin Willard brought on himself. You're right. This is a simple answer. You can be asked about these rumors. You can be asked about all this stuff and simply say, we've got a big game to prepare for. We're going to be ready for that. We can talk about this after the season. You can give all the easy cliched answers. He didn't choose to do that, and now he's got to live with the consequences. Unfortunately for them, though, the consequences a lot of times fall on the kids that had nothing to do with any of this.
You remember before the Nats World Series run when they were going to take on the Dodgers in 2019, Davey Martinez started bitching about players they didn't get in the offseason. They didn't pony up. Ownership and general manager Mike Rizzo didn't do a good enough job. We should have kept Bryce Harper. Remember that? Or we didn't stay in the nicest hotel when we went to Milwaukee. You remember that? You remember when Dan Quinn started bitching and moaning about the general manager Adam Peters and the Harris ownership group not putting them up in the nicest Radisson when they went to, New York or whatever? You remember all those? You don't remember them. You know why they didn't happen? Because it should never happen. I understand you're pissed off. I understand you got stuff, an axe to grind behind the scenes. And you're trying to win a power play against the de facto GM, a.k.a. the AD. I get that. Now is not the time. I cannot get over this. I'm telling you this right now. Like, I'm now out on that guy, on Kevin Willard. Hey, he's a great basketball coach. He knows what he's doing. He's sharp. He's a good basketball mind. They finally found somebody who could handle this NIL thing, who could do the transfer portal. He aced it. If you're looking at the quiz that he turned in a great quiz, right? They did an awesome job. This group is great. The focus today should be on a team that can go deeper in a tournament than has happened in Maryland in some time. For a school that thinks it's a lot better than it is at everything. Oh, my goodness gracious. I cannot forgive this. 800-636-1067. I know we're a little bit late. I apologize. I got more to say about it, but I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. Can you believe this, I guess, is my first question to you. And what's your reaction to Kevin Willard just firing shots across the bow at the AD and announcing that he's out pretty much before they play their biggest game in however many years? 800-636-1067. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
But I need to make fundamental changes to the program. That's what I'm focused on right now. That's why probably a deal hasn't got done, because I want to see, I need to see fundamental changes done. I want this program to be great. I want it to be the best in the country. I want to win a national championship, but there's things that need to change. When you're at a place for 3 years and you put your heart and soul into it, you kind of sit there and say, okay, wait a second, for us to be really successful, X, Y, and Z needs to change.
That's Kevin Willard doing an unbelievable job of making it about himself. Listen, I'm selfish too. I love attention. I make things about myself all the time. B. Mitch and Finley asked me to hop on and give you my favorite tournament memory, and 10 minutes later, I screamed my head off about Kevin Willard and how stupid Maryland is. I can't believe it. It's great to hear the fan. Toby's in for Jeeps. A lot of you guys are on hold. I'll get right to you. 800-636-1067. I find this unforgivable. I cannot believe this is something that he chose to do. I understand you've got gripes. You've got issues. You're not the first person to have your boss not do what you want them to do. You're not the first person that has asked for more resources. God forbid you try to print something at our office place. All right? I mean, it is like we'd be better off with a dot matrix printer that I got in the mid-90s at this stage, right? Where they, like, you can't find ink for these stupid things. There's a billion and one things that are annoying as all hell about our gig, about your gig, about everything in between. This is not where you air it. This is not the time. There is a game with your kid that you put together, this team that's better than anybody that you've had certainly here. That's better than anybody since probably you got boat raced by Kansas in a regional final a decade ago. Or semifinal, Sweet 16 round, whatever. I cannot believe he chose now is the time and the place and the venue. And there are a couple people, including folks I respect, who are like, you know, I respect him for putting his you-know-what on the line. No. With all due respect, folks, you're not putting anything on the line here. You are taking attention away from the game and the kids. If you've got some grievance you want to air, let's have that press conference afterwards when this season is done, not before you play Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time and a place for everything, and this is neither the time nor the place for it, right? That's plain and simple. You shouldn't be doing this right before the biggest game of the year. You shouldn't be doing this right before and right at an NCAA tournament game. You can't be doing this sort of thing, and there's a part of professionalism that you probably just shouldn't say something like this. You're throwing an AD under the bus, and I get that they don't have a great relationship. I understand all that stuff, but there's just a certain way that you should conduct yourself as a professional. Kevin Willard clearly doesn't care about that, and he's going to go about doing his own business and doing his own thing. But even if you are going to say something like this, to your point, Danny, this is not the time to do it. We should be talking about the Crab Five. We should be talking about Derek Queen and how good he's been this season as a freshman. We should be talking about all these things, and instead we're 2 hours before tip-off, and we're talking about Kevin Willard and not about how he's going to make adjustments to go against Grand Canyon, how he's getting ready for the winning of this Colorado State-Memphis game. Instead, we're talking about what he's talking about with staying an extra night in Manhattan for Christmas, or we're talking about who he's going to be working with next year, or potentially not working with next year as the athletics director. Now is not the time for that.
800-636-1067. Let's start line four. Junior in Arlington, your reaction to Kevin Willard right before they play.
Yeah, I'm a Seton Hall graduate, and I love what Kevin Willard did for us as a coach. He cleaned up our program. But 3 years ago, before he came to Maryland, he did the exact same thing to Seton Hall and told the kids on the first day of the NCAAs that he was leaving. He made it all about himself. So to me, this is just history repeating itself. I think he needs an education on working with the media.
Appreciate you, bud. Thanks for making the call. I mean, to me, like, again, you're trying to use the spotlight and the leverage that you have to get some of the improvements and things that you want.
Sure.
I understand that. But again, I just cannot sign off on doing it right now this minute.
There are two coaches right now in the news for saying something or agreeing to something and it being out there. Kevin Willard being one. The other is Will Wade. You don't want to be in the same conversation as Will Wade. He's a heck of a basketball coach. He's a walking scandal, too. I would not want to be in the same conversation, and yet that's where Kevin Willard entered himself into.
And again, Kevin Willard, from a basketball perspective, has done a good job.
Absolutely.
That's obvious. Just to take us over a couple years ago, puts his imprint on the program. This is a marvelous year where, like, every grade you would put back in terms of how this team played, how they compete, this group of five you put together, mastering the transfer portal, and doing everything that you could do with the resources that you have, A+. Good job, Kevin Willard. F-minus, all of that because of this. Let's go to line three, Carlos in Severna Park. Lewis, what's your thought on this?
So I get it. He's putting so much into this program. It sounds like he's been fighting for this for a while. At some point, you have to get the word out. The school is being cheap, like it doesn't have any money. You know, like you said, the school is pretending to be, is trying to step up like they don't need to do the NIL or recruiting, which it sounds like the coach is doing a lot of the work. And respect to Gary Williams, times have changed. He wouldn't be able to do what Willard is doing now with the school and NIL. The school's stuck in the past. They need to wake up. I'm glad that he's using this as a platform, because what gets more national attention in some sports in America? It's the NCAA tournament. So, you know, that's my take on it. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate you, dude. So it sounds like he's not bothered by this and the timing of it. Again, I guarantee you, whoever you think is the best funded program in the country, Duke, UNC, I don't know, whoever it is, the best college basketball programs in the country, I guarantee you that coach wants more from the AD, especially if it's a football school also, right? It's like the Ohio State basketball coach, I bet you he's kvetching right now in the office of the AD going,
sure.
You know, I tell you, if we had another $1 million, I could have done this. If we had another $2 million, if we could go to this tournament, if we could go to this camp or do this and that, everybody's advocating for themselves. That's not unique. And even using the fact that you've got the showcase for it. If you really want to get your word out on this, I guarantee you, you could have hit up Jeff Ehrman. I guarantee you could have hit up somebody and said, hey, here's what's going on. I'll give you the exclusive. Keep my name out of it. Just say sources say. If that's what's that important to you, to make sure that everybody knows that Maryland's acting like Little Sisters of the Poor, chasing the football golden goose, it's something that, by the way, is never going to happen. I want to be very clear about that. Fine. But sitting there at the podium, where now that's the focus. I just find that ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Well, and the timing of this is probably right for Kevin Willard. In terms of you need more money, I get that. You need the money so that you can have, obviously, the stay in Manhattan, whatever he's trying to say there. I mean, that's absurd. But NIL is huge now. You have to be able to provide your athletes. It's a totally different time in college sports. You have to be able to provide your athletes with the best of the best or they're going to go somewhere else. So I understand the frustration, but the timing is, in terms of when you're actually saying these words, is not right. Right before an NCAA tournament game is not right. And I understand sometimes in order to do these things, it's going to get a little bit messy. You kind of have to strong arm. You have to use that leverage in a time that maybe you wouldn't like to. But it's not right.
Yeah, so behind the scenes, you could, I don't mean to do the clapping emoji right in your face. Behind the scenes, you could do that.
Yes.
I guarantee you've been arguing with the AD, and you're using the fact that he's got one foot out the door, it sounds like. And you, by the way, announced that he was leaving at a press conference. Use your leverage, man. Every coach should do that. Every person should do that, right? If you've got another offer, use that offer. Either take it or use it to get more money.
Yes.
In your own job, totally fine. The idea that this thing, ostensibly, that is supposed to be about these kids that have done everything that's been asked of them and then some, now you've taken all the shine and attention off of them. Unforgivable to me. 800-636-1067. We got some actual basketball to discuss. We'll talk NCAA tournament, some great memories. We'll go down memory lane here at 3. And one more segment of this here. I want to get your reaction. 800-636-1067. Kevin Willard, not pleased with, sounds like he didn't mention this part, but his current deal, the amount of NIL money that they're getting, that they didn't get to stay in New York for an extra night around Christmas time, you know, because it's Christmas time right now. Oh, wait, it's not. It's March, and it's tournament time. His comments, pretty stunning. 800-636-1067. One more segment for your reactions. Sorry, Tubbs, just finishing a bite of my Caesar salad. And, yeah, I got a Caesar salad. Wasn't feeling great. I'm here for the long haul, kind of get things loose. It's like taking batting practice before the regular game. I got a Caesar salad, all right? I'm not special. You just do everything you can.
Sure.
Let's try to do your best.
It looks good, by the way.
Thank you. It's all right. Yeah, I mean, it's limited by its salad-iness.
Yeah, it's a salad.
The best salad inferior to the worst sandwich. Salads are punishment for a life well-lived, and I am punishing myself. 3 o'clock, we're going to talk favorite tournament memories. 4 o'clock, give you a chance to win some Washington Nationals tickets. But I want to get your reactions to this. Kevin Willard in a press conference yesterday before his team takes on Grand Canyon University in a tournament game with the best team that he's had in his time here at Maryland, one of the best teams Maryland has had in however many years to try to put this program back to where it probably should be. Not the delusional fans who think it's a Final Four team every year, and not to the fans that are just happy for participation trophies, but somewhere in the middle, right? The Sweet 16 should not be a crazy pipe dream for a program in this basketball hotbed. And I'm getting tweets. I'm at Funny Danny. Toby's at Toby_Altizer. on the old Elon app, who were saying, no, look at the NIL calendar. It's coming up. The portal opens March 24th. He's pissed. You should be mad at Maryland. I got plenty of ammunition for Maryland, okay? They ain't right either in their big picture thinking and how they've gone about it. I've never met the AD. I've got no idea what kind of guy he is or how much a pain in the butt he may or may not have been to deal with. I know that I think they've made the wrong decision every single year chasing a football pipe dream that ain't going to happen. I think you're just wasting your time spinning your wheels to eke out 7 wins because you beat William & Mary and Norfolk State A&I Tech directional to get to 7 wins to go to the Poulin Weed Eater Bowl game. I think it's a big waste of time and foolish, but that's your decision to make. I understand that they're wrong and Kevin Willis might think he's right. You lose all credibility with me as soon as you do this before your tournament game. The players, the game. The players in the game, that's the focus, that's the story. The stuff behind the scenes, keep it behind the scenes.
Yeah, keep it behind the scenes, and this is not the right time, like we talked about earlier. I mean, I understand his point, and I get that this period of college basketball and college sports in general, you need more resources than you probably ever have because you need the money not just to improve your program and go recruiting, but also to keep your own players. So I get all that. Like, if Derek Queen decides to stay for another year, you're going to need some cash to try to keep him, you know, in College Park. I get all of that stuff. But right before your tournament game, a big one where people are hoping for a long run. And by the way, I mean, you know, we heard tons of Terps people frustrated with the draw and everything, of the frustration of all that stuff. You can shut up so many people if you can just go on a nice long run and you can overcome the odds and you could be one of the best stories in the tournament if you go on to win and get into the Sweet 16 and even further. Like, there's so much good stuff that you can focus on, and none of that is being focused on right now, and we're less than an hour and a half before tip. It's disappointing.
Yeah,
it really
basically saying I'll leave or else. If you want to leave, if you want to go to a greener pasture, I don't begrudge that. Some people do.
No.
I don't. These are adults. These are people's lives. Where you want to live, who you want to work for. If there's a better opportunity, take it. I got a cold dose of reality during my college career. I wasn't anywhere near as high profile as these guys at Maryland are, but the guy that recruited me, who I just naively, I didn't really understand it, he announced before a practice in the fall of my sophomore year that he was leaving. And I was like, this is, you know, everyone else kind of seemed to take it in stride. I was distraught about it. I'm like, wait, what? I thought this was my guy. He's the one who recruited me. He's the one I talked for hours with on the phone and who was my mentor, my guide. He was going to be one of the guys that brought me through this whole experience. And he was gone, just like that. And we had 3 assistant coaches over the next 3 years because that's how the funding worked. And that's how everybody was always looking for a better deal for them and their family. I now got it. That was my awakening. So I knew that coaches could leave. Coaches could look for better deals and get more money and more funded programs. I understand all of that. You're standing up there before your team plays, trying to hold Maryland hostage. I better get more NIL funding. I better have a better guy to deal with, or else. You could do that behind the scenes, man, not before your team plays. 800-636-1067. You guys have been patient who are on hold. Kevin in Arlington wants your thoughts on this. Kev, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Danny, Toby. I didn't have quite the visceral reaction you're having, but I get every point you've made, okay? So I totally respect your point of view. I guess call it the professionalization of college sports. NIL, portal, conference realignment. This reminds me in some ways. I think the difference is I think maybe Willard has an offer to go to Villanova, but he doesn't want it. Maybe he wants to stay at Maryland, but hell, the AD who he doesn't get along with is going to SMU. He's in the portal's opening up. He needs a decision. And unfortunately, the business now becomes before the players. Case in point. I'm a JMU grad, huge JMU football fan. Kurt Cignetti, Texas on this wonderful season, okay? We get to our first bowl game. What happens? He becomes the Indiana Tech coach, takes all the coaches with him. Half of our best, 15 of our best players puts Indiana on the map this year. And you know what happens? We are decimated. We go into our first bowl game. We can't hang with Air Force. Thank you, professionalization of college sports. We need a situation, I don't know if it's possible legally, where business like this gets conducted only after the final game of the season, whether it's the final FBS bowl game for the national championship, whether it's the Final Four in the national championship in men's basketball, whatever it is. Because guess what? When the regular season's over, coaches are starting to move or getting moved out.
Yeah.
And the business starts, and there's nothing you can do about it except endure it. And I'm sorry for the players. I totally get your point, but I'm like, this is what's happening. Maybe Kevin really wants to stay, And maybe he's got this Villanova offer. He's saying, look, I'm going unless you get this play.
Yeah, that's a great call as always, buddy. Appreciate you making it. And all valid points, by the way, of what's going on. I think Kevin's assessment is 100% correct, Tobes. But I think there's two silos for me. One, I think Maryland's at fault. I don't think they're making the right choices when it comes to the dollars and cents, and they're chasing something that I don't think is ever going to happen. But that's, you know, just my opinion from the outside. I think that's a good sports debate. I think it's probably he's annoyed at, you know, and he's using the leverage that he has, et cetera, et cetera. I think all those things are true. I also think there's a behind the scenes where that should have stayed.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, this is just unprofessional, plain and simple. Regardless of what he announcing that a dude is leaving before he formally announced it, regardless of whether you like him or not, there's just a certain form of professionalism that I think most people would want their program to have. Like their head coach, the face of the program, because especially in the modern age of college basketball, and it had kind of been this way for a long time, like Coach K was the face of Duke basketball, and Roy Williams at UNC, and Calipari was at Kentucky. Like the coach is the one that stays year over year, so they're kind of the ones that are the face. Kevin Willard looks incredibly unprofessional, and in turn, it makes Maryland basketball look unprofessional. It's just not a good look.
That's Toby. I'm Danny. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Tobes is in for GP. So we're going to move on. I appreciate the calls on this. We might come back and revisit it here in a little while as Maryland tips off in right around 2 hours from now, I think, if I've got my calendar correct. Speaking of tournaments, talk some actual basketball. We'll get you up to date on the results so far. And I want to talk favorite upset with you, your number one seed going back all the way, however, you know, whether it was when you were a kid or recently. Give me your favorite upset of all time. Toby and I will give you ours. We'll do that next on The Fan.